Blog Talk Radio.
Make your contact and your thumbs up and have a problem. Not just for the young. Good evening. We'd like to welcome you to New Beginnings. We are on every Wednesday for those of you who are listening by internet. Every Wednesday, amen. If you would like to be a part of this conversation, if you have a question for the speaker, you can call in at 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. 1-877-237-4054. Call that number and hit the number 1, and a question will come up, and it shows that you have a question on that end. That's what I'm seeing on my end. So you have to hit the number 1, unless we give the go sign. And if the speaker asks for all mics to be open, you don't have to hit anything. All you have to do is speak. Amen? If you'd like to have a face-to-face communication, you can go into the Zoom. And the Zoom number is 505-563-6808. That's 508. And the passcode for that is Psalm 23, capital P-S-A-L-M-23, the capital P, no S, amen, 23. And you can be connected to the Zoom. And lastly, if you'd like to hear this message, or if you happen to want to share it with a friend, amen, even a foe, you can go into Blog Talk Radio and then type in, "We Can Begin Again." Amen. You go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in, "We Can Begin Again." Amen. And once you type that in, you can listen to this message or any of the other messages. And I'm sure this message this evening is going to be a blessing to you. Amen. Telephone, tell a friend that Pastor Miles is on the line and he has a word for you this evening. Amen. Isn't it good when we come together, when brothers and sisters come together in unity and in the spirit of the Lord? I don't know about you, but in my spirit, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises will continually be in my mouth. Amen. Reciting what David would say to you and I as the believers of faith. Amen. We praise God in season as well as out of season. Amen. It doesn't make a difference what you're going through. It doesn't make a difference what your situation may be. We still give praise to Jesus. Amen. And when we lift up the name of Jesus, things begin to happen. So if you want to see a change in your life, just start talking about Jesus. I guarantee you that your life will never be the same. We're going to move on over into New Jersey, where our speaker is waiting. After the prayer, the next voice that you're going to hear will be none other than Pastor Reginald C. A. Miles of Hackensack, New Jersey. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because this is a day that you have given us, a day that we've never seen. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, we would just open our hearts, open our minds, Heavenly Father. We would taste and know that you are good through the word that will be provided this evening. I pray, Heavenly Father, for the sick and afflicted. Lord, those on our line right now, we have a request from Mother Dorothy T. Graham, who is asking for prayer. And Lord, she has she's just recovering from surgery. She is in Stony Creek, Virginia, and we're asking for healing. We're asking, Heavenly Father, for a turnaround. We're asking, Lord, that you would just place your healing hand on her, Lord, and she would know, Heavenly Father, that somebody prayed for me. We know, Father, that when prayers go up, blessings come down. And so, Father, we come not as one, but we come collectively in the name of Jesus. And if there's anyone on this line that has not named a person that they would like to pray for, Heavenly Father, we pray for them publicly and silently. You know our hearts, Heavenly Father. So we ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would activate our prayers, Heavenly Father, and they would come back with a testimony. We thank you, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, amen. Pastor Miles. Good evening, sir. How are you? We can't hear you right now. Hold on 1 minute. 1 minute. Let me switch over to here. How about now?
Can you hear me now?
Amen. You're coming through the phone line right now. Amen.
Yeah, because I have the Zoom on mute, so we will not hear feedback on tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Or tonight. So how are you doing tonight?
I am how can I say it? It's been a long day, and I came in rushing. But you know what? It's one thing about, you know, coming, just being able to hear the word of the Lord, that just refreshes my my spirit and refreshes my soul. So I was looking forward to hearing a word from you this evening, and I thank God that he has placed on your heart a word for not only me, but for those who are coming on.
Yeah, well, I thank you for once again for having me. I remember the first time that I was on, and I had asked at the time to I pray that you would have me back. It's just something about the Bible and the Word of God that actually does something to me. I have a request from
yes, sir.
Jaden Nicholson out of Michigan, and he's trying to come in right now. And that was him who just tried to call me while you were praying.
Okay.
I got to find a way to get him in.
I'm sorry.
He was trying to, he called me directly.
Yeah.
I don't want to give the number out directly over this line, but he's trying to get in.
But not his number, but just give him the number for Blog Talk Radio. 347-237-4054. 347-237-4054. He can call that number and be connected. What is his area code?
Right,
just give me the code so I can open his mic.
734.
Okay, got it.
He's under Bishop-elect. He's under Bishop-elect of Nicholson out of Waldorf, Maryland.
Oh, Nicholson. Okay.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Oh, so praise God to all of the saints here on tonight. And for those of you who happen to not be saints, just happen to be listening, looking to find out what this Jesus is all about that we actually worship and talk about so much. And welcome. I'm really excited about being here once again. And on tonight, we're going to have a Bible study. I mean, we're going to have a Bible study. Many times people come on here, and this is how the Lord leads them. And the Lord has been leading me in such a way to have Bible study. And for those of you who know me and have known me for a while, I'm more of a teacher than an exhorter. Now, when the Spirit is on me and I get to preaching, people know it. They'll know the Spirit is on me and I'm preaching and just get a hold to me. And I just don't hold back. I just let loose. That just happened. So if you go back and some of over our 400 or 500 messages, you'll tell the difference is what the Spirit got a hold to me and versus when I'm teaching. Now, don't get me wrong. When I'm teaching, I'm under the anointing too. But something about when it gets to coming out of me, it comes out of me, and I just don't hold back. But I pray that on tonight that you've actually read the scripture on tonight, and you also read the topic in the form of a question. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open it to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. Now, what I would love for you to do is whenever you have word that I'm going to be on, bring something to write with, something to write on. Bring your highlighters. Bring your Bibles, your study material, because I really love to dig into the word. That's just what I do. And out of the trials and tribulations that I went through in my life, the thing that actually got me out is the Word of God. That's what got me out, exercising the Word of God. How can you use something or exercise something when you don't know it? You need more than a hoop and a holler to get emotionalized. And you get out of 11 o'clock worship or 9 o'clock worship or 10 o'clock worship, and by the time you get out of there and you get back home, you are just as empty as when you went to church that morning. Let's get some word in you. Now, turn to 1 Timothy 5th chapter. We're going to start at verse 1. Now, I'm reading from the King James text. I just like the King James text. The language is strong. It makes you dig a little bit deeper, which we're going to see, which we're going to do. And it's also going to show you some things about the writings and how writings were done. Now, I want to give you this little bit of information. The words of God are ordained by God. The words are ordained by God, but not the punctuation. In the English language, punctuation can make all the difference. And I'm going to show you that a little bit later. 1 Timothy, 5th chapter, starting at verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Honor widows that are widows indeed. Verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that this is good and acceptable before God. Now, I want to speak to you and reason with your spirit from a question. Where are your manners? Where are your manners? I'm going to ask this question again and take it personal. Where are your manners? Now, people ask me from time to time, where are you from? Born and raised Hackensack, New Jersey. But you sound like you're from the country. I got country parents, so I got country roots. Back then, you had manners. You show respect. Above the Mason-Dixon line, we say respect. Below the Mason-Dixon line, you have some manners. Respect, same thing. Now, let's look at this. Paul has a son in the ministry by the name of Timothy. That's who he's writing to. Timothy, his son in the ministry. Illustration, illustration only. When I got called into the ministry, the Lord sent me to Archbishop Larry D. Palmer. At the time, he was an archbishop. At the time, he was a newly appointed elder, just elevated to elder. And I was a minister. So I am his son in the ministry, and I've been with him for over 30 years. So that means I'm going to listen to his teaching. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, I am his son. I'm going to report to him. I'm going to listen to him. Now, also, I am a son of New Beginnings Ministry. When you have Elder Dr. John Clay, I am a son of the ministry. So when it comes to the ministry here on Blog Talk Radio, there's certain decorum I have to bring forth, meaning I have to show respect. I have to have manners. Are you praying with me? So now that Timothy has been charged to start up local churches in the area where he may be. Now, he is also charged, if you take a look at this writing, if you go through the first three chapters, or the first four chapters, you will see that Timothy's a young preacher, he's pastoring, he's under Paul. Now, who is the Paul I'm talking about? The one that was Saul, who was on the road to Damascus? I think that's Acts chapter 9. And people said that time his name got converted from Saul to Paul, but that's a different Bible teaching, which is not really actually accurate. But I understand why they get that, and I'll show that to you prayerfully in the future. He, Timothy, is the son of Paul. And Paul has given him instructions in chapter 3 about local leaders, the criteria that they are to hold to be local leaders. It's non-negotiable. This is the criteria he has given. But man has taken it to do what they want to do with it. You'll see that when you read the chapter. Now, as you come to chapter 5, by Timothy being a young pastor, a young preacher, he had to tell him how to treat certain people. He says in verse 1, rebuke not elders. Now, this is not talking about the elder of office that he's speaking about in chapter 3 in a local church. He's not talking about that kind of elder. He's using, he says, treat the elder, do not rebuke the elder, but then treat him as a father. Meaning, if you have someone who is older than you, and he's old enough to be your daddy, you are supposed to treat him as such. You're the pastor. You may be younger than him, but he's coming to hear some spiritual advice from you. You are to give that spiritual advice, but treat him as a father. But now the younger brother. The younger brethren come to you. You are to treat them as little brothers. If you have a younger brother, how would you treat him? Give him guidance. I have a younger brother whom I love very dearly. And there were times when he told me, you ain't got to baby me. Even to this day, he'll tell me, you ain't got to baby me. But according to Scripture, I'm supposed to treat him as a younger brother. There are little younger brothers in the old neighborhood who I still treat as younger brothers. Because the Scripture requires for me to have these type of manners or show this type of respect. I have a question for you. Where are your manners? Now, he's writing this for local leaders, for Timothy, for church to have certain decorum inside the church. Let's go to verse 2. The elder women treat as mothers. When I see an older lady who's old enough to be my mother, I was raised to call her Mrs. by her last name. But when I came into the body of Christ, I call her Mother So-and-so. Why? Because the Scripture requires for me to have these type of manners. So, where are your manners? Treat them as mothers and the younger sisters. And the younger as sisters. With all purity. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean you're supposed to treat them as all purity? You're a pastor of the church. They're young. You're supposed to treat them as all purity. What does that mean? Follow me on this one. You are to treat them as they have a sinlessness life. Whoa, what does that mean, preacher? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? You are to treat them as being innocent. How many times when a baby is born or a baby is coming up, when it comes to 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, that child is innocent. You are to treat your younger brothers and sisters as if they are innocent. Because that was Timothy's position as being a pastor and a preacher. Now, let's take it back to the Garden of Eden. When God made Adam and Eve, some say that they were adults. Okay, I can go with that. But I'll tell you this, they were spiritually innocent. And we can tell that they were spiritually innocent in the faith. Why? Because the devil came and did what he did. And has a manipulation going on. Are you with me? So now, let's take a look at verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. If you go through this whole chapter, you will be able to see the qualifications for a widow. Take your time the rest of this week and see the qualifications of a widow. Let's go on to verse 4. But if any widow has children or nephews, I want you to underline nephews in your Bible if you underline. We're going to deal with that. It says, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For this is good and acceptable unto God. That word nephew actually means grandchildren. It doesn't mean nephews as we think it means. It actually means grandchildren. So, if a widow, and you read for the criteria, I'm not going to tell it to you. You read the criteria. If she has children or grandchildren, y'all are supposed to take care of grandma. If you're not doing that, I have a question for you. Where are your manners? Let me read verse 4 to you from the Amplified Version. If a widow has children or grandchildren, to see it that they first be made to understand that their religious duty at home. You're supposed to take care of home first. You're supposed to take care of home first. You may not remember, some of you may not have been on the line, but if you go back, there's a message out here on Blog Talk Radio that I brought forth called Divine Preparation Part 1, where I spoke about John, the 14th chapter, and I think it was verses 1 through 6, where it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I talked about a wedding where a man goes across to speak to the bride's daddy and brings her home. And in the meantime, in between time, the brothers would build a house on daddy's house. It would be so big, it would be a mansion. And what would happen, all of those people would live in that one house. And that's something like heaven would be. But it's called Divine Preparation Part 1. You might want to listen to that. And when you have a house like that, then what happens? Everybody go check on mama. Everybody went to go check on mama because in the same house. But a widow, as far as the criteria, she has nobody. Then the church steps up. But the family has no business asking the church to step up when you can still take care of mama. I pray that you're with me. So I have a question once again for all of you people who call yourselves Christians and you not taking care of the widow who's in your family and you are not taking care or being representative of the man that you're supposed to be when it comes to the elderly father, the elderly man, the elderly woman, the brothers and sisters that are younger. Where are your manners? But you call yourself a follower of the Most High. Now, yes, this is Paul writing to his son Timothy because he's a young preacher. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Brother Mother, please open the line. Let's just hear anybody has any questions, comments, or concerns.
All mics open.
It's important to always respect your elders. And really, honoring and respect was established even early in the Bible. Like in Exodus 20:12, honor your mother and father and your days will be longer upon the land. So it's very important. Honor. And respect is very important.
Is there another? Now, let me run something by you. Let's go back to verse 4. It says here in verse 4, I'm going to read it from the Amplified version, then I'm going to bring something else to the table. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, see to it that these are first made to understand that it is their religious duty at home. And to make a return, listen to this, to make a return to their parents or grandparents, for it is acceptable in the sight of God. Now, I have to make a confession. There was a song, I forget who made it, but y'all probably will bring it back to me. I want to say Shirley Caesar, but I don't know, and if I'm wrong, somebody please correct me. Brother Moderator, leave the mics open. If I'm wrong, I want to be corrected right here on the spot. My mother used to sing this song. No charge for the 9 months I carried you, no charge. Young man went out and cut the grass and had a price for that, and washed dishes, mm-hmm. had a price for that in the video. And Mama, you on the line?
Yes.
Mama.
Yes.
Who made that song?
Shirley Caesar.
Shirley Caesar. Okay. Stay on the line. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Now, let's get in the open. I was a back sassy little boy because I said to my mama, and mama, tell the truth, it's right or wrong. I said, I didn't ask to come here. Right or wrong?
Right.
I said, I'm a product of you and daddy's love. You're supposed to take care of me. Didn't I say that?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
But you
see,
did.
I didn't understand. You can put it back on mute, Mama. You can put it back on mute. I didn't understand the concept that was in this scripture until last week. So, Mama, I apologize. Please forgive me. In Jesus' name. until last week, until I studied, the Lord prepped me for this message. And I'm going to show you something else. So, you may not have asked to come here, but Paul said to Timothy, who was a preacher, and I pride myself on being a preacher, it's right for you to do that. It's right for you to do that. Why? Because it's good in God's eyes. Brother moderator, open the mics back up. Any other questions, comments, or concerns at this time?
All mics are open.
Okay, let's go forward. See, I see y'all. You're picking up what the scripture is putting down. You're eating it up. I see you digesting it, and I want you to live it out. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Now remember, I'm asking you a question. Where are your manners? Now, before we get to Ephesians 6, I want to hit something else with you. I don't like talking like this. I don't like bringing this to the table, but I have to speak on a language where people understand. So there's no ifs, no ands, no buts, or suppose people get it. The Bible is clear. It's about one blood. We're all of one blood. Different types, but we're all of one blood. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm black, and I'm a black man. Now, there are some people who may listen to this later who may not be black. They may be of other ethnicity. We're all of one race, the human race, but different types. We have the Black Lives Movement matter, and we have all of these Me Too matters. But I want to deal with the people of my ethnicity. We say that we are strong black people. We're proud black people. Back in the 70s, what's going on, Brother Miles? What's going on, Brother Ray? Right on, brother, right on. But at the same token, we will call our ladies outside their name. Let's deal with it on that level. Where are your manners? Sisters, when it comes to the man, do you respect him? Where are your manners? But you don't need one. But you were designed to be a helpmeet. Men, you were not designed to be alone. God said you need a helpmeet. When it comes to the mothers in the community, you put down the elders. Where are your manners? And you're wondering why things aren't moving forward for that community or for our community. I mean, I hate saying this and I hate talking like this. I really do, because I'm not that kind of preacher. I don't talk about the white man from the pulpit. I don't talk about the black man from the pulpit. I talk Bible in one blood. But I got to put it on a level where you can get it. Where are your manners? Where are your manners?
It's good, Pastor what? Miles. It's good.
Brother Myra, leave the mics open. I still got some more time. Any questions, comments, or concerns?
This is an excellent subject, Pastor Miles. One thing about God, what I love about it, God wants to touch everything in our lives, our mm-hmm. manners, our whole self, the righteous. He's touching everything, and you're touching something that needs to be out there in the music industry, in the movies, and all those that this what you're saying here should be on even a
platform of the world, because we are disrespecting not only each other, but we're disrespecting God, who we are mirrors of. You know, this is just an excellent topic, subject. Where are your manners? You know what? It's so true. Cause we take
I'm glad you brought
so
that up.
Lightly, sir. Not we, but you know what I'm saying, the world, or even those in Christendom take it so lightly. We disrespect one another in such a way that it's unpleasing to God. And you're giving us the pros and the cons. And I thank you, sir. It's good. Teach. Teach.
Where are you? And I'm glad you brought it up, because another thing I had on my notes, you touched on it, so I'm going to hit on it. I'm going to get off it because you already spoke on it. Where are your manners towards God?
Wow.
So true.
Yeah. So true.
Where's your manners towards him? Where's your respect towards him? He created.
So true.
Or I hate talking, but I got to do it.
Do it.
Black brothers, where is your manners towards God, and you call yourself a Christian, and you disrespecting the elderly mother?
Oh, my.
Sisters, where is your respect towards God when you know your pastor is married, but you batting your eyes? Where your manners?
All right, now. Come on. Tell the truth.
Where your manners, Deacon? When you know you married, but that new college student who just graduated going to graduate school, and you like the way she looked, where your manners towards God? Where your manners towards your position? Where's your manners towards your house? Where's your manners towards you being a covering? Where your manners?
And you said it before. Manners is giving respect where respect is due. And that's due to everyone. Go on, sir. Teach.
Let's go on a little bit further. Now I'm going to show you some translation. Some translation from a regular from the language you come to English. And I got this idea from my younger brother in the ministry. His wordplay is phenomenal. If you get a chance, go on Facebook, people. A lot of you listening on Blog Talk may not be able to understand, but the youth can. He's a youth pastor, Jared All Star Haynes, I think his name is.
My God,
he's out of Long
Island.
Yeah. Oh, he's out of Long Island. His wordplay, when it comes to scriptures, if you're not well versed in English or hip-hop, he will lose you because he's that good at it. And I follow him and I listen to him. He's that good at it. And when Paul wrote this when we go to the book of Ephesus, when we read this translation, if you don't follow it, it'll throw you off. Turn to Ephesians, 6th chapter. Let's go to verse 1. I got to move quickly. I won't be able to get through everything I want to get through. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, if you read this the way it's written, you would say, only children who are supposed to obey their parents who are in Jesus. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But I submit to you, that's not what it's saying. The in the Lord actually is going with the word obey. That's what it goes with. The prepositional phrase in the law is actually speaking about obey, not the qualifications of the parent. And I'm going to show it to you. Now, I'm going to do it this way, and then I'm going to do it the way it's actually, I'm going to say where it should have been written. I'm going to say it that way, but I don't mean it that way. Where it should have been written. Now watch this. Children, comma, obey your parents, period. In the Lord, for this is right. But now, if you are looking at the King James Version, I want you to notice that colon that's there. Now, the colon in the English language, it actually introduces a clause or phrase to serve, to describe, to imply, or to restate something. So, if we take that for this is right, this is actually emphasizing the prepositional phrase in the beginning, which says in the Lord. So we could read it this way. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. That takes care of all kids.
Mm-hmm.
The part for this is right, emphasizing in the Lord. So children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. Or it could have been written, if they wrote it this way, children, obey your parents, because this is right in the Lord. Because if you take the word for, you could also substitute that for the word because. That's why you have to study the Bible to show yourself approved unto God. Because remember, it was translated. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But you take that colon. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. Why? Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and they mayest live long upon the earth. Now, parents, I ain't going to lay you out. Where your man is at?
That's right.
Where your man is, parents?
Mm-hmm.
And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't do it. You get your children to the point or to the degree they have extreme anger at you. Well, your manners towards your child. See, manners go both ways. Fathers, nurture, but bring them up in the nurture and abomination of the Lord. See, when you provoke the children to wrath, how do you do that? By injustice, you lose your temper, under cruelty, favoritism, suppression, sarcasm, ridicule, and you misuse or abuse your authority. That's how you bring your children unto wrath. So parents, where are your manners? All mics are open. I'm finished. I will go ahead and carry this out for the rest of the broadcast and let the technician in the background work the board. Are there any questions, comments, or concerns? We still have some time.
Yeah, you're going to have to do a part two, sir. You have to come back. Yeah, you can come back on Monday. You can come back. You know what? This is so fresh. And God wants us to know that everything cuts both ways in the Lord. Parents, children, people. You know, we have to know that. We just can't speak any old kind of way, act any old kind of way.
Yeah.
We can't be disrespectful because, like I said before, we disrespect God.
Yeah.
And we're to honor as the husband is to honor the wife, and the wife is the husband. And me, to my older mothers in the Lord. And you know what? I don't believe that it's just in the Lord. And I know that you said that already, sir. But when he's saying in the Lord, in what I expect out of you, God is saying. In the Lord is, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. In the Lord, in me, you're to respect and honor and obey. And this is good, sir. You opened up one line.
Let me give you this right fast. I got to hurry up. I want to give this to you. I want you to go back to 1 Timothy, the fifth chapter. Let's do that quickly. We're going to let the Bible support itself. Remember we talked earlier how Timothy is a young preacher and Paul was teaching Timothy how to govern in the church house. Go to the latter part of verse 4 where it says, for that this is good and acceptable before God. You see that part? King James Version, for that this is good and acceptable before God. Talking about the widow and how to treat people.
Mm-hmm.
1 Timothy, 5th chapter, verse 5. Verse 4. 1 Timothy, 5th chapter, verse
4.
I still have pages turning. I don't want to leave anybody behind.
Go ahead, sir.
Latter part of verse 4. For that this is good and acceptable before God, of what he was supposed to do within the first prior four verses. Go back over to Ephesians 6. Go back to 6:1. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. When you use the colon the right way. So the instructions that people got in Ephesus is the same instructions Timothy got when starting churches. Go back, replay this, listen again. Any other questions, comments, or concerns?
Good evening, Mrs. Mother Glory. Very quickly, I just want to say this is an extremely good lesson. I think everyone needs to hear it, especially our young folks today. Because, see, we as older adults, we was trained up to respect our elders, our mothers and our fathers. And back in the day, we took care of our grandparents. And I am a product of that today. I live with my daughter, and I'm an elderly grandmother, and they take very good care of me. And I thank God for that. I don't take it lightly. And I try to be the best grandmother that you could have that live with you on a daily basis. Thank you so much for bringing this out. This is an extremely good lesson. And it does cut both ways. It does cut both ways as a parent. And, you know, as you know, that we respect our children also and not leave them to wrath. Because I remember one time when I got angry with mine and I had to be corrected. So God bless you, Pastor Miles. This was a good lesson. Thank you.
Now, thank you. Is there another?
I would like to talk to Oscar about it. It's a very profound lesson. And I am in the middle of three siblings. I'm number two. My older brother passed away about 6 weeks ago, but he always treated me, with love and guidance and very kind and very generous, and he watched out for me. As I walked home from school, nobody bothered me. I knew my brother was in the proximity. Plus, you know, I wasn't worried about anybody stopping me and stuff like that, you know. And I had a younger brother, and in the middle, and I was taught to simply have love for Christian manners, and actually be taught, you know, to love your brother, love your siblings, and then, you know, since older brothers passed, now I'm the eldest. anyway, I consider him as being a great teacher by the way he acted. I have a younger brother who has a problem, and I find even more stepping into that role and having a grandmother who taught me things and things my mother taught me, and a pretty, you know, respect that was supposed to, and manners you're supposed to have as a nephew. I was trying to, this is a certain protocol, you have the uncles, aunts, et cetera, but there is, you know, events as manners, and that's something people forget, and we are one blood, being Christians or being of the human race, we're products of God, and we have to remember that, and oftentimes that is something that's oftentimes forgotten, and so anyway, you have to pray and strengthen yourself in that process, that you have to give people respect. You just can't, even with children. I did not come home and have anybody screaming at me, or that just was not permitted in the household. There was not a sense of in causing wrath in my, among the children. There's guidance and love. And that you can't teach something unless you actually have it, and it's something you put into practice. Anyway, thank you very much, and I concur. You should come back again.
Thank you for that, my brother. Greatly appreciate you, brother moderator. Just words you would like to say on tonight.
I would like to really ask: are there any other comments? All the mics are open before we close. There's always room for one more.
God bless you. I want to say one thing. If someone can come after me, because I've done spoke before. You know what you brought up. You know, one thing about the Word of God. The Word of God says, and you all can correct me, pastors. God will give us everything that pertaineth to life and godliness. And what you're showing, you know, I'm thinking about some preachers that I knew back in the day, and how they would be in that pulpit, dissect the Word of God, give us the spiritual aspect of the Word, spiritualness of the Word of God, come out the pulpit, and their natural life was a mess. They were a mess. They were a mess. They were womanizers and da-da-da. But when they were up in the pulpit, you know, of course, the Spirit of God on them, and they just, you know, they just did what they did. But when they came out of the pulpit, what you're showing us tonight, Pastor Miles, is that our lives should be complete, you know, while we're here, complete in the sense of spiritual and natural. There should be a balance. We shouldn't be so heavenly minded and then we're so earthly ruined. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to say that we should be the respect, we should respect, we should honor, we should do things that's in the natural, that's pleasing and right in God's eyesight. And then what we do in the spirit, what we do in the spirit, what we do in the natural, maybe I'm not explaining myself right, but there should be a balance. Because we're still going to be the men and women, boys and girls that exemplify Christ, God. That's at the end of the day. That's, I don't want to say, oh, yeah, he could preach, yeah. But, you know, his life is a mess. That should not be. And what you're saying here in 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 4 is that we're are our matters. You gotta come with part two, sir. You gotta come with part two.
And that's why it's important to live a life that is pleasing to God. And the main thing, if you show love in everything that we do, and you know, us as Christians, exemplifying the fruits of the Spirit in everything that we do, so that people can see God through us. You know, therefore, you know, the respect, the honor that you give, like, to your elders and stuff, it comes from deep down inside. It comes from the heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's important mm-hmm. for us to live as the in the image of God, to be godly mm-hmm. in all that we do and say.
Amen.
Now, with that being said, one thing I want to do, if there's any listening right now, I want to open up the doors of the church. Time
mm-hmm.
is now far spent. Tomorrow may be too late. And if you don't
mm-hmm.
have the manners that you think you should have,
mm-hmm.
and the way to go about that is to accept Jesus Christ. We ask
mm-hmm.
here on tonight at New Beginners Ministry, just press the number one on your phone, which will raise a question mark. We'll register and we'll get back to you. You don't have to
mm-hmm.
say one word on this phone. Just press the number one and we'll
mm-hmm.
get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
As I like to say, time is far spent. And it's okay with the sound room, everything. I'm just going to go ahead and close us out in prayer. And we'll go ahead and end the broadcast. Because like I said, time is far spent. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking you for life, health, and strength. And thank you for what our ears have heard on tonight. And Lord, let us take this word, eat it up, digest it, and live it out. In your son Jesus' name, now unto him, that is the power to establish according you to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus, and keep your mind, will, imagination, intellect, emotion pure before him and faultless. Now may the sweet communion, the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide, and now, hence and forevermore, in each of one of you and myself. The church said,
my heart is called a vision. Oh.